to speak here. So what I'd like to do today is to explain some work which is going on for the last couple of years together with these people, Herman Boss, Tetsuji Miwa, Fedor Smirnov, and Yoshihiro Takeyama. So the papers published, and also one, the most recent one is on the net. My plan is I'd like to first present the problem that we are going to address in this talk. This is all about the most standard sort of traditional model, the simplest possible integral model in quantum field theory, which is the Sine-Gordon model. And I'd like to first formulate the problem not on the continuum but on the lattice, and raise the same question and solve the problems there. Then I go on to discuss the conformal field theory limit. Actually, to be honest, we are not able to take the limit in a very direct way, so there are some problems. And so I want to tell you in which sense we can take the continual limit of our construction. And of course, conformal field theory in this model is not the most interesting thing to do. Our ultimate aim is to study the massive integral field theory, which is the genuine Sine-Gordon model. And so this is the last part of my talk. Okay, so let me go on. What is the question? So first of all, let me set up the notation. So we start from the very standard Sine-Gordon model, whose Lagrangian is given in this form. And just for convenience or historical reasons, I'd like to change the parameters a little bit. So the coupling beta here, instead of beta square, I use nu mostly. And I take nu between 1/2 and 1 so that there are no breathers in this region. By the way, nu equal 1/2 case is what's called the free Fermion point. Also, I'd like to change the bare mass to some other parameter which we call mu. And this parameter mu will be related to the soliton mass in this well-known formula. Well, anyway, this is the notation. So what is the question here? The question we'd like to ask is to describe in a systematic way the space of all local fields in the theory. And especially, we'd like to study the vacuum expectation values of these local fields and also their form factors in the very end. But what do I mean by the space of all local fields? Well, the situation is clear if you consider the limit of this model, which is, so instead of taking the full Sine-Gordon model, you can just look at this cosine part and drop one exponential from there. Of course, it's all very well known that the resulting Lagrangian is just a complex Liouville field theory, which is conformal. So this describes some conformal field theory with this central charge. And essentially, this is a Gaussian field theory, so one knows everything. In particular, we have a primary field, which is just the exponential fields. So we have this basic field phi, and you raise this, you take an exponential to this field phi with some parameter alpha here. For my convenience, I take this combination and call it phi alpha. So by space of all descendants in this situation means the following. It's just the ordinary space of all the Virasoro descendants obtained from this primary field by acting with the all possible Virasoro generators of the first and second chirality. So my notation is that the Virasoro energy momentum tensors are these, and the action of the Virasoro components is as usual on the field. And I will use most of the time the multi-index notation. So when I write this symbol, I usually mean the product of all of these in certain order. So this is all very clear in the conformal field theory. But now, of course, this is possible only when you have a conformal invariance. So if you go to the genuine massive Sine-Gordon model, the action of the Virasoro algebra is, of course, lost. And therefore, you cannot literally talk about the space of fields given by this formula. This symbol literally does not make sense by itself. However, as explained by Zamolodchikov a long time ago, one can argue that for if the parameters nu and alpha are generic, then the field in the conformal field theory in one-to-one correspondence with the one in the Patab theory. Namely, there is a unique renormalized field in the Sine-Gordon model by demanding certain homogeneity, such that in the conformal limit, it reduces to this expression, which we know in conformal field theory. So this symbol is still good as a label for the fields in the Sine-Gordon model. So therefore, in this sense, you already have a certain basis in the space of local fields in the Sine-Gordon model. However, I'd like to argue that this is not the most convenient basis, especially when you deal with the vacuum expectation values and form factors. This is not the nicest basis. And we would like to propose that there is a better basis, which we call the fermionic basis. And this will be the main theme of the talk. So what do I mean by this? This is, in formula, an expression like that. So we start from the primary field and then act with certain operators on it, and we generate as another basis of the space of local fields. So what are they? The first two symbols, the boldface I, are a simple thing. These are simply the components of the local intervals of motion, which are known to exist in the Sine-Gordon model. This is the origin of the interiority. So they exist, they are pretty well-known thing. But in addition to all these, we claim that there are fields called beta star, gamma star, beta star bar, gamma star bar, which act on the local fields and produce new local fields. The claim is that they are all anti-commutative, namely they are Grassmannian or part of a fermion, and they also commute with the local integral motion. And this totality, the whole thing, will be the good basis for us. This will be our conclusion. Let me come to that in a later on. I'll at least make a statement about the lattice case and then argue that this should be the case in the field theory. So I'd like to stress here that the fermions, beta stars and so on, are acting not on the state, but on fields. So usually when we talk about, say, the diagonalizing the Hamiltonian, say, for the Ising model, we introduce the Jordan-Wigner fermions, which act on the space of states, and they are good enough. However, our fermions written here have nothing to do with the Jordan-Wigner fermions. They act on the space of states. These act on the space of local fields. Spaces and states and fields are the same thing in the conformal field theory, but only in that limit. And in the massive model, they are totally different. So these fermions will not have anything to do with the Jordan-Wigner thing. All right. So let me start with the consideration on the lattice. So we consider the ordinary six vertex model on the cylinder. The picture is like that. So we have an infinitely long cylinder with finitely many lattice points on the vertical side. So I will call this horizontal direction the space direction and the vertical direction the Matsubara direction. And on this space, the lattice, we consider the analog of the primary field. So this will be something like the disorder field in the easing model. So we could take the sigma 3 operator, raise it to some power of q. Q, by the way, is e to pi I nu in this notation. So it extends from one point in the middle to the infinity, left infinity. So this is kind of tail. And in more generally, the analog of the descendants will be something local times this tail. So the totality of the space, the operators, which we consider are just consisting of this sort of expression. We'll see. Can I answer you later? And then we consider the expectation value of defined in this way. So let me explain the notation first. So first, we take the standard 4x4 R matrix for the XXZ model. Then we take the product of the horizontal vertical direction, and then take also the product of a space direction. This whole thing is just a monodromy matrix for our model on the cylinder. So if we take this monodromy matrix, then take trace of the space direction and the Matsubara direction, what you will obtain is just a partition function of the ordinary six vertex model. Now I'd like to introduce certain fields in the horizontal direction to study the effect of having this tail here. And also we have introduced some background field in this direction as a whole. So there are two parameters. In the left we have this thing. In the right, we have that thing. And therefore, correspondingly, the twisted transfer matrix is like that. And so the denominator will be the partition function. So, well, in principle, I have to take also the trace over the Matsubara direction. But since the cylinder is infinitely long, I can replace the space trace on the Matsubara direction by the matrix elements with respect to the Perron-Frobenius eigenvector corresponding to the Matsubara transfer matrix. So this denominator is just the partition function of the model. If you have some insertion, which is local, then we can consider a similar expectation value, a partition function, and the ratio is what I'm interested in. This is a kind of expectation value for this special combination, something local times the tail. And this will be our main object. So now, I don't have time to explain all the constructions, so I will just give you the statements. What can we do on the lattice? The statement is that one can introduce certain fermions, B, C, B star, and C star. They are acting, as I said, not on the states, but on states of local operators, which for us is this thing. Namely, they can apply to some expression like Q2 to alpha S0 times something local O, then produce a similar field. B, C, for me, are just annihilation operators, which means that they kill the primary, the analog of primary operators. Vista sisters, they are creation operators. Yes, yes. By primary, I mean this exponential, pure exponential, Q2 to alpha S. And all these fermions, they are commutative with the local integral of motion, which exists also in the lattice. They are defined from transfer matrix, as usual. And the statement, first statement is that if you collect all these coefficients and apply them, the combination to this pure primary thing, and also the integral of motion, then this expression, whole thing, will give a basis of our space W alpha. This is a theorem. But having this basis alone is, of course, not very interesting. The main statement is the next one, well, to be explained later. So, of course, I would like, if I had time, I would like to explain how to construct these fermions, which are essential for us. However, this is rather complicated. It's a long story, and I have to skip the construction. I just want to say that this is a sophisticated application of certain techniques from the algebraic Bethe ansatz, but something we don't still understand the most essential point of the construction. The formulas work all right, but we don't know the construction very well. Well, anyway, here is the main statement. So if you accept that these things form a basis, then you can ask the question, what about the expected values of these most general operators? And the answer is that they are given by this very simple expression. So the structure is the following. You have integral of motion and two kinds of fermions. For the integral of motion, the action is very simple. Application of one integral of motion is just given by a multiplication by some function rho of one variable. And the essential part is given by the contraction between B star and C star, and you have another function. Rho is a ratio of the eigenvalues of the transfer matrix between left and right transfer matrix. So this is a simple thing. The essential point here is that the contraction, I mean the expected value of the remaining part, essentially depends only on the function of two variables. So it means that Wick's theorem holds. Once you know the contraction between two B star and C stars, then the general expression is just boils down to a determinant. So what is this omega function? This omega function actually can be characterized in several ways. One is algebraic. You can characterize this by certain properties. And essentially, this is, well, the analogy is that this is, if you consider a Riemann surface, then there are notions of first and second kind of differentials. And this omega function in the classical limit tends to the second kind normalized Abelian differential. This is the meaning of omega. However, for computations, it is better to have some more different expression for this thing. And so let me write a TBA type formula for this. So first, we just write down the standard TBA equation characterizing the right vacuum. So we have on the right the eigenvector of the Matsubara transfer matrix. And the eigenvalue is characterized by what's called the auxiliary function, A in my notation, which satisfies this Destrid-Vega equation. So the notation here is as usual. A and D are just eigenvalues of the big N and big D operator in the algebraic Bethe ansatz. K here is Q difference of the Cauchy kernel. And it's just this. So you are supposed to be able to solve this. And once you know this, then you write down a linear integral equation with kernel K alpha and with the measure given by this auxiliary function. So you obtain certain resolvent. And the statement is that my function omega is essentially this resolvent kernel. Well, there are some simple dressing by left and right by another Q difference of cosecant and some additional piece here. So this is the result for the lattice model. I'm sorry that I'm not explaining at all, but only giving you the result. This is a very long story, and still requires a lot of computation. So I can just... This one? Excuse me? R-dress is defined by this equation. K-alpha is an explicit kernel. K-alpha is this kernel. This is known. And using this, and the auxiliary function, we just write down the linear integral equation for R-dress. This defines R-dress. Yes. Except that we have a complicated measure here. I think formally, yes, but still this part is really very complicated. This contains all the information about the beta roots and so on. So maybe I want to make a comment here, several comments, in fact. So I wrote the formula in the simplest possible case of the homogeneous, usual six vertex model on the cylinder. But the structure of the theorem is very general, in fact. First of all, you can introduce an arbitrary spectral parameter, an inhomogeneous parameter, attached to each horizontal and each vertical line, just completely independently. And the formula has this, we can write down the formula, and it has the same structure. This generalization will be important for dealing with the Sine-Gordon case. The second comment is, so we started from the two eigenvectors on the right and on the left of the cylinder. So if you are interested in the original problem of computing the partition function, of course, they have to be the maximal eigenvectors, the Perron-Frobenius one. However, the working is completely the same for if you choose arbitrary eigenvectors of the transform matrix. So we don't use anything about the maximality. We just use the property that they are eigenvectors. And the third comment is somewhat obscure, I'm sorry, but essentially, I can continue analytically in all these three parameters independently. So kappa, kappa prime, and alpha. Originally, kappa prime has to be the sum of kappa and alpha. However, there is an argument, and there is a modification of the expectation value and so on, which I want to skip, which says, in effect, that these three parameters, in the end, will become completely independent. And this is a technical point, but we need this, because to go further in the spectra, I mean, asymptotic analysis in the continuum limit, we need, for the moment, to assume that kappa prime is equal to kappa. The formulas are all right. However, to do the analysis, we still have to impose this condition. Otherwise, the analysis have not been done. So this is just a technical restriction for the things to come. OK, so I think, how much time do I have? 25 minutes? Half an hour. So, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. So we proceed to discussing the continuous limit of this construction. So of course, by continuous limit, I mean that the spacing is going to zero. R is the radius of the cylinder, n is the number of sites in the vertical direction. So a has to go to 0. So first, let's recall what happens about the transform matrix in the Matsubara direction. In order to study the conformal limit, you need to scale the spectral variable here, zeta, at near zeta equals 0. So this thing goes to 0, and lambda is kept fixed. If you do that, then the limit of the transform matrix will give the transform matrix of the chiral conformal field theory on the cylinder. This has been explained by Bajanov, Lokyan, and Zalmogorov some years ago. So if you, by the way, if you expand the near zeta equal infinity, you get the second chirality. So this will, the result will be chiral in this way. So what these people did is the following. So claim is the result is the entire function in lambda square variable. So it has an expansion, a Taylor expansion near the origin. But an important thing is if you consider the limit lambda square goes to infinity, then this thing has an asymptotic expansion in fractional powers of lambda. C's here are numerical coefficients. And the important thing is these coefficients I and G. So the claim is that these are local integral of motion and non-local integral of motion. They have to commute because the transfer matrix is commute, of course. So having this in mind, we want to study the limit of our function omega. So what will happen? You do the same scaling and obtain function in two variables. Now you can study that the asymptotic expansion at either infinity or at zero. And you get several new coefficients here. And the question is, what are the meaning of these coefficients? Are they local integrals of motion? Of course not. And we postulate that these coefficients here describe or represent some three-point function in conformal field theory. Three-point because my picture is the following. So I had a cylinder, and now it's in the continuous limit. So we have somewhere in the middle our exponential field. But in the in left and right, we have also some primary field inserted, depending on our parameters, kappa and kappa prime. And so what I mean by three-point function is some three-point function of descendant field in phi alpha. So let me be more specific. So now I'd like to state the conjecture. So we expect that at the operator level, our B star and C star fermions will tend to certain limit in conformal field theory in the weak sense, namely under the expectation value. We expect also that application of these coefficients on the primary field give us a basis of the space of descendants modulo the local integral motion. And the most important point for us is that the expected values of these things, or the three-point functions, can be computed in terms of the coefficients omega and jk, which appear in the asymptotic expansion. So this gives the simplest possible descendant. And in general, if you have many gammas and many betas, you apply just weak contraction. That's the statement. So what does it mean in more concrete form? So let's discuss, let's do the simple exercise. So consider the simplest possible case, beta 1, gamma 1 applied to phi alpha. This is certain descendant field of degree 2. So it has to be a linear combination of the descendant by L minus 2 or L minus 1 squared with some unknown coefficients. If you take the three-point function depending on kappa, then you obtain, of course, this kind of equation. And the coefficient of B will become 0 automatically because we are assuming kappa and kappa prime equal. And so we cannot detect any information about B. However, this gives an information about A. Actually, this is an overdetermined equation because A and B here have to be independent of kappa, which is a boundary condition. And so this equation has to be correct for all possible kappa. And the statement is you can actually solve this equation consistently in terms of some certain gamma function. Gamma function because it will appear from the expansion coefficients omega here. This you know to be algebraic. And you can go on and on. So we have done the same exercise by computer. This computation will become more and more complicated. However, every time the overdetermined equations are shown to have solutions consistently, and we did this up to degree 8. So this is one basis of our conjecture. But remember that we have not just one, but two kinds of coefficients. So we discussed the coefficient omega here, going to infinity. How about the second one? This also has a nice meaning. So this is this will define a kind of screening operators. So let me just give the simplest possible case. So as I take just the first coefficient here, I'm going to call it gamma screen. So what does it do? Well, it has an effect of shifting alpha by a certain unit. So take the primary field with this shift, and take all possible descendants with respect to beta gamma, and compare it with the descendant of phi alpha with shifted arguments, and the insertion of the screening operator here. And you can easily check that they have the common scaling dimension. So there is a chance that they are proportional, and they are. So the claim is that there is a common constant, which is given explicitly here, such that this equality holds in the sense of the matrix elements. We have checked also this bias in all possible cases by computer. So this is the status about the conformal field theory. Now I'd like to move on to the Sine-Gordon case. And this will be the most interesting because, of course, you can compute in principle everything in conformal field theory, but it's not so in the Sine-Gordon case. And so it will be nice to have certain prediction coming from the same picture in the massive case. So what do you do here? You have also to start with a six lattice model, but now with an inhomogeneous one. So remember that I said the main formula, the determinant formula for the expectation value on the lattice is equally valid if you have inhomogeneous parameters in the row, horizontal and vertical direction. And this is what is needed to take the limit to the Sine-Gordon case. So instead of having all the same spectral variables, I have to attach alternating spectral parameters horizontally and vertically, changing from zeta 0 to zeta 0 inverse, zeta 0, zeta 0 inverse, horizontally and vertically in both ways. The meaning of this zeta zero variable is that in the scaling limit, it will produce the soliton mass, which is necessary for the Sine-Gordon theory. So this is the limit we have to deal with. And I think it's now easy to imagine that by exactly the same procedure as I did for the conformal field theory case, one can introduce the fermions, starting from the lattice formula, taking the limit in the omega function, and indirectly from there, you can just, postulate the existence of these fermions and also the screening counterparts. We have two sets of these because there are two chiralities which are mixing in the massive case. So instead of giving the details, let me just give the final answer. So you can do the computation for finite radius or as well. But to simplify the presentation, let me just consider the case R is infinity, namely the Sine-Gordon model on the plane. In this particular case, the formulas simplify. And here is the result. So you consider the primary field and all possible descendants with respect to beta stars and gamma stars, beta bars and gamma star bars. So in principle, we can have integral motion in order to consider all possible fields. However, in this case, the integral motion are irrelevant because all the descendants with respect to integral motion will have vanishing vacuum expectation value. Therefore, if you're interested only in the vacuum expectation values, this is enough. And after extracting the coefficients and summarizing the result, this ratio takes this extremely simple form. This is just an elementary function, just cotangent. You can also study the implication of the existence of the screening operator. So I'm just writing the simplest possible conclusion drawn from there. So instead of considering all possible descendants, I just consider the expectation values of the phi alpha with shifted arguments to the original one. The result is given by, again, by the common constant, which is given by the gamma function, which I showed before, times some simple combination of cotangent and tangents, which come from the contraction between the beta gammas and beta and gamma screen. So this is a kind of conclusion which you can draw. Well, of course, there are no proofs. I'm just giving all possible conjectures and then try to test it against the known result. So, of course, this has to be tested. First, there are lots of consistency relations among all the formulas. I haven't written all possible formulas, but there are lots more. And among these, there are a lot of consistent conditions, some of which can be proven, some of which can be just checked on the computer, and every time they agree. There are more serious tests. There is a famous paper by Lukianov and Zamolodzhikov a long time ago, which expressed this vacuum expectation value of the exponential field in terms of certain very explicit integrals. So if you take the difference, shift, consider this combination, this is known by Lukianov and Zamolodzhikov. This is also known. Therefore, the ratio can be computed. And the result is exactly the expression which is given here. So this agrees with the formula by Lukianov and Zamolodzhikov. There is also another formula which have been known in the literature, which is a vacuum expectation value for the simplest possible descendant. To be more precise, the ratio between this and that. And you can also check that using our formula, we can just reproduce the same result. So this, for us, is good evidence for the validity of our conjectures and the consistency of all these pictures. Well, for the finite radius, I don't know any explicit answer or result or conjecture before, except 10 minutes. Thank you. Except the one for the energy momentum tensor. There is one paper by Zamolodzhikov in 2004, which says that this variation has to be true in all possible two-dimensional conformal quantum field theory, not necessarily integral. And we have checked that our formula for the finite radius case agrees with this one. So to our knowledge, these are all the possible tests against the known results. And in all cases, they just match. So finally, I'd like to mention a few words about the form factors. So up to now, we have considered the vacuum expectation values, matrix elements between the vacuum with itself. So now let's consider the more general expectation value, namely the matrix elements between the vacuum and the asymptotic states with momenta parameterized by these rapidity variables, theta 1 through theta 2n. So this is the general form factor for some local operator O in the Sine-Gordon theory. Now, there's a well-known work by Smirnov, who gave a very detailed description about the exact formula of these form factors. So the general structure of a form factor of an arbitrary local operator is as follows. So there are some simple factors independent of the local operator times some vector part, which is also independent. The essential dependence on the operator O comes under the integral. So this has the essential part of the form factor is given by an integral, n-fold integral, if the form factor is 2n particle form factor. So again, this integrand consists of certain universal function and some universal part, depending only on these epsilons. And the dependence on the operator O alpha is through certain Laurent polynomial. So once you know the this L part, then you know the form factor. So this L is a Laurent polynomial in the variables S, which is our integration variables, and also the outer variables, these are outer rapidities. There are several axioms for that. The main part of the axioms are that this should be anti-symmetric in the first set of variables and symmetric in the second set. And it has to satisfy this kind of recursion relation. This is the main point. So the giving a family or a sequence of such Laurent polynomials amounts to the same thing as giving a local operator. But of course, this is all under the integral. Therefore, there are certain ambiguities. So modulo some exact form in his terms, this gives a complete description of all possible local operators in the theory. So for example, if you have the primary field, then this Laurent polynomial is very simple. It's just the van der Waals determinant. Now, in the late 90s, there was an important paper by Babylon, Bernard, and Smirnov. So this is a combinatorial problem, but it's not easy. To give the description of all such a family of Laurent polynomials is an important question. And they solve this problem in the following way. So they start from the this Laurent polynomial for the primary field. This is the explicit thing. Then they introduce certain fermions again, which are acting on the polynomial, Laurent polynomials, and produce new Laurent polynomials. Important point is that this acting with these fermions, the recursion relation is satisfied automatically. Therefore, if you start from the primary thing and apply all possible fermions on it, then you obtain something which satisfy the symmetry requirement as well as the recurrence relation. Therefore, it has to represent some local operator. And this is the answer. However, for a long time, it was difficult to identify which local operator will obtain in this way. So this is a kind of existence theorem or a construction of all possible, the set of all local operators. However, you don't know which one. And somewhat unexpectedly to us, It turns out that this local operator obtained in that way is exactly the same one which we can generate from phi alpha by applying, this time, R fermions. So in a word, R fermions at the level of form factors just exactly coincides with what Babylon, Bernard, and Smirnov considered from a purely combinatorial point of view. So this came as a big surprise because the construction is completely different, and we started from a lattice and so on. So since I'm coming to the end, let me summarize what we have seen. So in this talk, we have explained that there is a construction of a fermionic basis of local operators on the lattice and in field theory. So everything is a theorem on the lattice, and all the statements are conjectures in the continuum. But conjecturally, they share the following properties. So first of all, because of the construction by itself, these fermions on the lattice, CFT, and massive field theory, they are all essentially the same thing. They are not independently constructed, but starting from the lattice, they are obtained uniformly. And the point of having such a basis is that they have a very simple form of vacuum expectation values, also on the lattice and in the continuous limit. And also, if you consider the form factors, of course, this is possible only in the massive limit, then they reproduce the known fermionic construction in some way. So maybe I stop here. There are lots of problems to be investigated, but this is the present status. So thank you very much.
Do you know any algebraic characterization of a new fermion basis, beta and gammas?
Like algebraic characterization of?
Yeah, of new fermions, beta and gamma, like Virasoro or something like that.
I'm not sure about the question, but they are much simpler. They are just fermions as far as the commutation relation is concerned.
You mean free fermions?
Yes. They just anti-commute. So at this moment, I see no connection to the Jordan-Wigner type fermions. Yeah.
This integral kernel omega, if I understand, you said that it was related to the fundamental bidifferential on the Riemann surface?
Excuse me?
The omega kernel that you're using.
Yes.
You said it was related to the fundamental bidifferential for Riemann surfaces?
I'm sorry.
The fundamental bidifferential for a Riemann surface, is that what the omega is?
So you can study the classical limit in which the spins. So I'm considering spin 1/2 case, but of course this can be generalized. And we consider the spin going to infinity limit. In that way, we obtain certain Riemann surface. And then the corresponding omega will go to the second kind of differential, the standard normalized one.
So the exact omega is not that. It's just some limiting form that is related to Riemann surface.
Sorry.
You said when the spin goes to infinity, then you get the fundamental bidifferential for
Yes.
But which Riemann surface? What is the Riemann surface?
So you have a TQ relation. And this is this can be thought of as a second order difference equation. Now, if you take this limit spin goes to infinity, then you have a Riemann surface of hyperelliptic type starting from there. And it's this omega, which I mean this second kind differential on this Riemann surface.
And the branch points have some significance in the field theory?
I'm sorry.
The branch points of the hyperelliptic
branch
curve.
Points will be so the beetroots will condensate to such some, then they start to form a cut, and these the endpoints will be the branch points of your inner self.
Last question.
What is the relation of your results to the light cone approach of light cone lattice approach of Destri and De Vega?
Basically, we just take their formalism, but instead of dealing with the Jordan-Wigner type fermions, we just independently introduce fermions which act on the local operators. And to me, they are completely independent things. Do I answer your question or not?
As far as I remember, they have alternating inhomogeneities.
Yes.
But alternating row by row.
Row by row and column by column, both ways.
No, yours is row by row and column by column. But I think Destri De Vega just row by row, as far as I remember.
That's probably a matter of a formulation, I think. Maybe you're right, but if you consider the temperature expected values using a Trotter kind of approach, then you have to alternate also in the row direction as well as column direction. And this is what we are doing here. So I thought this is just equivalent to what Destri De Vega were doing, but maybe you are saying it's different. I think there are possibilities of changing. Okay, maybe we discuss later.
We have one last question, maybe.
So you stressed several times that these fermions shouldn't be confused with Jordan-Wigner fermions, and I guess in the continuum limit with Turing-type fermions. But one could still ask the question, if you insist to describe the sine Gordon in the fermionic language, how does this description translate into the new language?
It's hard to answer. So your question, I think, is so fermionization of the bosonic field in Psi-Gondo model, how is it related to our fermionic description? So I think this just corresponds to studying the primary field itself. But our interest is considering the all possible descendants. And for this purpose, we use the fermions. So for us, it's just a tool. And the fermions themselves are not fields. Maybe I don't answer your question directly, but. Yeah, but your fermions will be interacting. And the question is how effectively you can describe the, say, expectation values. So for us, this is just a tool.
Could you please tell us or summarize what kind of new quantities can you calculate in the sigma models? I suppose sine Gordon will be not the only one which is covered by this formalism. Say, in general, in sigma models, what kind of new quantities you are aiming at?
So actually, nothing is done beyond the sine Gordon case. And I would say that it's not quite straightforward to generalize all this once you change the algebra or the model. So I don't really know how to say. So it's not straightforward at all.
Okay, but the main question was what kind of new physical quantities can you calculate, even in SU2 type sigma models?
So in this particular case, to my understanding, It was a long-standing problem to compute the vacuum expectation values for all descendants. And this conjecturally can be answered in this way.
What about just correlators, for example?
Correlators will be the next thing that's harder.
So I guess we should thank the speaker again. Before we go for coffee, Nicholas wanted to make an announcement.